You as well. All right, grab your Bibles and let's turn to, just put your fingers in Galatians, specifically Galatians chapter 6. We'll be there in just a few moments. But a few weeks ago, we launched this series called Sitting on Suitcases. And if you're new here and this is your first time here, you're thinking, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's what we're talking about. We're all on a journey, every one of us. We're on a journey, and that journey involves a number of different things. And so sitting on suitcases means that we're just pausing and thinking about the journey. And the first week we talked about our destination. That is, every one of us, each person here today, we're on the same journey. Now, our journeys have side roads, don't they? Because they take off this way. They're called careers and they're called families and so on and different parts of life. But we're all on the same journey. We're headed in a direction that would lead us into one destination or another. So we talked about on that first week, what are the two destinations? Eternity with Jesus and eternity without Jesus. Destination. Last week, Mario taught, and he talked about faith and fear, because along this journey, some of us have developed fears, particularly about the end of life and what that looks like. So we talked about fear. We talked about faith. And today, I just want to take us another step in talking about this journey, and we're going to learn how we help one another in just a few moments. I think about 2 weeks ago, Jen and I were on our way over to Yakima. I left right after work, about 4 or 4:30. And you know this time of year, what happens around 4 or 4:30? It gets dark, right? And so it was a very dark day. It was during those days, a couple weeks ago, when we were getting a lot of rain, you know, new to Washington, right? But a lot of rain. And we were headed over to Yakima to visit my youngest son. And the route that we chose involved Highway 18. I don't know if you've ever been on Highway 18, but, you know, if there's a way around it on a bad day, I think that's not a bad decision to make. But we were there, and particularly the last part is you near Tiger Mountain, where the road narrows down into just two lanes. So you got oncoming traffic and traffic going this way. And here's the scene. It's raining really, really hard. And it's dark. And my windshield wipers are not keeping up with the rain. And I finally say to Jen, I can't see the road. And she says, well, why don't you stop? Which to a guy, that doesn't make sense, you know. No, we're going to keep on going, you know, and the windshield wipers are going like this. And I'm desperately looking for a way through this really, really dark area. Have you been there? You've been there, haven't you? And trying to navigate my way in this dark place on this road, you know, so that we all come out, you know, alive in the end. It was interesting because when we finally merged onto the freeway, I saw these little reflectors, you know, that separate the lanes. And I'm thinking, now there's a good idea. You know, because they help you navigate, right? Because you can see them in the dark. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking to you about today, navigation. What's navigation look like for you and for me while we're on this journey through life? Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 6. We'll be there just a moment. Where he unveils something that ought to be a part of our faith community. Now, Gateway, if you're new, is a faith community. That is, we're different people. We come from different backgrounds, don't we? We look different. But the one thing that unites us is not how we look. How many are thankful for that? Not that we all have Arctic blonde hair. How many are really thankful for that? You can go amen to that. Or we have a lot of hair, or we have no hair, or, you know, the size of... Those things are not the things that unite us, you know, at all. Color of eyes, nothing. The one thing that brings us together, that unites us, is our faith in Jesus. And so we call it a faith community. That one thing brings the body of Christ together. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, there's one thing that should mark this faith community we're going to talk about today. In fact, if you take all of what we call the one another injunctions, in other words, these things should be active in your life individually and in the faith community, they kind of group up into maybe a dozen or so. We should pray for one another, we should encourage one another, and so on. Well, Paul shares one of those one another things that ought to mark this faith community. It has everything that we're talking about today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, if you have it. It's also coming up on the screen. If you launch YouVersion Live, it's there this morning. But he says this, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. I love verse 3, by the way. Let me go on. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I love that, because that just says, look, if you think you're too important to do what Paul's talking about, God's talking about here, you know, you're not that important, and I'm not that important. Some of your Bibles, depending on what version you're using this morning, it says, bear one another's burdens. Now, if we draw back just a little bit, we understand the broader context of what Paul is teaching here, because in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So in the larger context, Paul is speaking about the person who is caught in sin or spiritual temptation or spiritual failure, and we're to help share in that burden. We're to help carry that burden. Followers of Jesus ought to lend a hand in carrying this heavy load. Though the context is specific to that, the principle is really much larger, and we can expand the principle, what we're reading here, to include all the burdens that we share. And when we do, we fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? John chapter 13, verse 34. So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. That's the law of Christ. We're to carry that out in this faith community. But the scripture goes on, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciple. So here's our big idea today. There, what I want you to take away. Living in community is sharing in community. Can you say that with me? Living in community is sharing in community. As we carry out our life in this faith community, sharing in community ought to be a part of what you and I do. Sharing the burdens of one another, bearing one another's burdens. That's what we're talking about today. By the way, that word bearing in your Bible, or sharing as it is in mine if you're using the same version, is translated from the Greek word that simply means to pick up or carry. Just think about that for a second. We're called to pick up or carry one another's burdens. That's different than just noticing. Are you with me? There's something that we do. There's action associated with that word. It's more than, I see that, and we'll kind of keep on going. It literally means to pick up or to carry, and the scripture says that ought to be evident in this faith community. In fact, if you just go a few verses in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, therefore, whenever we have an opportunity to do this, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith or the faith community. But here's what happens. Here's what we're talking about today, because I know along this journey, when these opportunities to share in the burden or to pick up and help carry the burden presents itself to us, some of us find ourselves in that very awkward moment of not knowing what to say. What do I say? And so today, here's what we're talking about. What to say when you don't know what to say. Specifically, how do we carry this burden? How do we help? You see, I believe that every one of us will have an opportunity to bring comfort, to bring peace and hope during very difficult times. During those difficult times when we're trying to navigate this dark road, this journey. I believe God brings people along our way, affording us that opportunity to be an agent of comfort. But what do you say? What do you do when you're now talking with somebody, or God's brought someone in your life who is in a very, very dark place and trying to navigate life? How about when a friend suffers terrible loss? You have them. It's happened this week. The death of a loved one. How about people in this church who this week, or that you know of, received a phone call and the doctor said, you have an incurable disease. Suddenly, their journey looks different. than yours? What about when a spouse walks out the door unexpectedly? Or what about when the whole world seems like it has come to stop? Who should be there? What should it look like in a faith community? The Bible says that all of us ought to come around one another and share and help carry that burden. I want to qualify what I'm talking about today. Not talking about when your spouse or your student or calls up and says, my car just broke down. Or I had a little accident. That's not what we're talking about today. Not talking about like when the washer goes out, because some of us respond like when the washer goes out, the world has ended. Or the dishwasher goes out, and now I have to wash the dishes by hand. You notice I said, I have to wash the dishes by hand. But we're not talking about that. I'm talking about truly life-altering circumstances. By the way, some of you are there right now. Some of you are there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And when I describe that kind of that dark road, that's where you are today. And you're desperately looking for the little reflector or something to help guide you. I love the word picture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We won't turn there. But the Bible just says, look, when the cord of three strands is you can't break that. Right? It's not a cord of two strands. It's a cord of three strands. God and you and that other person working together in life. I want to help us today, those of you who are in that dark place and those of us that God wants to use. And so I've asked for some help. Some time ago, I emailed some people in our faith community. I emailed Mark and Jackie Smalha, and some of you may know that name. They typically attend the 8 o'clock gathering. If you watch the movie We Are Marshall, then you know Mark Smalha. That's his story. He had to deal with the tragic loss of an entire team in a plane crash, and God's done amazing things in his life, and Mark and Jackie are part of the Gateway Faith community. Jackie is surviving cancer. She's living, and she's told us her story. It's interesting because Mark shared with me this just this past week. He said, most people do not have the resources to grieve properly when these things come into our life. You have to be able to let down and let go, and you can't do that unless you have someone to hold you up so you can let down and let go. And that's what we're talking about today. We talk about carrying one another's burdens and sharing life together on this journey that we're all on today. So I talked to Mark and Jackie, and they've helped me today. I emailed Dick and Sally Osborne. Sally, again, she attends the 8 o'clock gathering, and Dick helps with some music here. They lost their daughter and two grandchildren in a tragic car accident. And they can relate to the phone call that they received. Out of that experience, their story, they've written some of the best grieving material that I've seen, and I use it, and they supply that to me, and I hand that out a lot. God has used them in that way, and I've had Dick come in and train the staff on this very, very issue. They're speaking from experience. I emailed Al Gerdes. Al retired as a police detective or officer over in Seattle, and then after his retirement, he was a deputy coroner, and I sought his input and his advice. So today as I speak to you, I feel like five people talking to you, and I thank these who have helped and shared. And what they've shared, I think, and what has come out of this are some timeless principles that you and I can apply in that situation, what to do, what to say when we don't know what to do. What's it look like to help carry someone else's burden when we're talking about these tragic things that come into our life, and they do, or into a family member's life or someone that we know? So I'm going to talk about this. So I just encourage you this morning, if you have YouVersion, they're in there. You might want to write these things down. They're simple, but they're profound, and they make a difference. Here's number one. And if I were to ask you to guess what it is, you just might be able to do that. But it's kind of odd because we're talking about what to say when we don't know what to say. Guess what the first thing is. Don't say anything. Here it is right here. Learn to be listeners. We need to learn to be listeners. Sometimes the feeling that we need to say something leads us to to say the very, very wrong things. We need to be people who listen. That's part of helping to share the load, carry the load. Following the 8 o'clock gathering this morning, I had a lady come up to me, and she says, you know, that is so important, because she went through one of these life-altering changes. And she was trying to talk to somebody, and this somebody wouldn't listen. And she says, I got to that spot where all I wanted to say was, would you just please stop talking? So, and listen. And so that's what we're talking about first off today. We need to be people who listen. Some of us, I'm just talking about myself, because I can be a verbal person, find that really, really hard to do, don't we? How many are with me in that camp? We find it really hard just to listen. That's the very, Al Gertis wrote this. He says, we need to be willing to give our undivided attention and to listen when we find ourselves in those places. Dick Osborne, Dick and Sally, who lost their daughter and their grandchildren. If you really want to gain some understanding of what a griever is dealing with or working through, you must listen. You need to give your full undivided attention. So often, we only use a small portion of our listening ability. At the same time people are talking to us, we're busy formulating our response back, how we can help. And so often, God puts us in these places to help carry a burden, to help share in a burden, and really what we're called to do is to be a listener. But rather than listening to grievers, we want to share our experience. We want to tell about our stuff. We're looking for ways to take what the griever is saying and use it as a bridge to do what? Talk about our own selves, or maybe share an experience we think will help out. Mark and Jackie, Mark from Marshall and Jackie, surviving cancer. Jackie wrote this. She says, Tom, the very first and foremost thing that comes to my mind, guess what, is listen. Just simply listen. And she continues, we are out of our comfort zone when we hear these trials from people, and we feel like we have to say something. So many times we say something that the person in need does not want or need to hear. And then Jackie shared some examples to me. She's surviving cancer. She said this. She said, I'm really feeling down right now. She wrote, having my test results coming back. And I remember being with Jackie when she got the phone call of some of her test results, and you know, that moment, and in that moment, it was good news, but this is different. She said, I don't know if I can make it through this. Reply that she has received. You stop talking like that right now. I don't want to hear another negative word. You keep your chin up. It's okay to groan and moan and laugh. Jackie did earlier today. She says, if you listen, you won't make a fool out of yourself. That's pretty good advice. When Jackie was first diagnosed, the person at the gym said to her, oh, geez, I had a friend who had that, and it just kept coming back until they finally died. We're getting the drift here, right? She says this, she wrote this. Somebody else said this. You look good in a wig. I wish I could wear a wig. And Jackie said, so cut off your hair and wear a wig. Now listen, I know that these things have been said. I think I have good hearts to help. Another thing that Jackie told me, she said, I had someone tell me this, that, hey, we're all gonna die. I could get hit by a car tomorrow. And Jackie says, why don't we level the playing field? Blindfold yourself during rush hour traffic, and then walk across the freeway. Now it's a level playing field. Finally, we're going to all die sometime, you know. And then the ultimate sin, and I'll just call it a sin, maybe you wouldn't be that drastic, I don't know. In my opinion, is this. If you had more faith, you would be cured. Well, the reason you have cancer is because you have sin in your life. Would you just help me put that into there? And let me know how that works when we talk about carrying one another's burdens, and sharing in life together. I think we get the point. Listening is absolute must. And I pray, Jesus, it's a Holy Spirit prayer, I think. Help me to know when to shut up. Help me know when you call me just to listen. And by listening, I help carry the load. Dick wrote this about listening. He says, perhaps the most important thing to understand is that it's not always necessary for us to say something. We all like to talk. And we all kind of tend to feel that only we have some important wisdom that must be shared. This is seldom true, he writes. Sometimes if you don't know what to say, that can be a good message to yourself that now is the time to listen rather than to talk. He says, it's been my personal experience, and Sally's too, that the finest gift you can give to a person dealing with grief or other difficult situations is to listen. Certainly a brief comment like, there is no way I can fully understand your situation, but I care and I want to help. Please share with me is almost always appropriate. Learning to be listeners. I don't understand, but I can listen. So I want to give you three listening statements this morning. Three listening statements. And you might want to jot those down, or you may have one of those, you know, God-given photographic memories. I don't know. But just remember these listening statements. Number one, I want to help, but I don't know what to do. Could you please tell me? That's a listening statement. So I want to help. I want to help carry the load. I want to share the load, but I don't know what to do. Could you please tell me? I found myself in this situation just this past week. I often find myself there. Number two, listening statement. I am available. How can I help? I'm available. How can I help? Number three, I don't understand how much you hurt, but I will do whatever I can humanly do. I don't understand how much you hurt, but I'll do whatever I can humanly do. There are listening statements that we need to incorporate into our lives as we help one another navigate the journey, help one another share in the load and carry the burden. Secondly, I'm just going to give you three things this morning. Secondly, we ask the question, how are you doing? How are you doing? Al shared a story of a Christian woman that he knew of, not a part of Gateway, in her 50s, who was afflicted with terminal cancer. And he writes this, she went through several months of treatment, but before she died, she shared with a close friend that the one thing she was disappointed in was that her church family, although very supportive in prayer and general support, tended to treat her in person like nothing had changed. A casual greeting without any inquiry as to how she was doing or acknowledgement of what she was dealing with. She suggested that if people did nothing more than express their concern and willingness to pray, we'll talk about that in just a moment, it would mean so much to her. She understood that most people were uncomfortable asking and probably didn't know what to say. But life wasn't normal for her. It's not normal for people going through these things. And she appreciated those who recognized that fact. Ask, how are you doing? We'll have the opportunity, many of us, this week to do that very thing. But Dick writes, and he continues on, he says, don't ask grievers or people navigating these dark roads how they're doing unless you really want to know and are willing to devote the time to listen. We talked about that, and understand. Asking how you're doing is almost automatic in our society. Have you noticed that? How are you doing? And you kind of keep walking on. How are you doing? We do it on the bus, don't we? We do it in the grocery store. We do it on the ferry, wherever we're. Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? And I've caught myself many, many times saying, how are you doing? And I just keep on walking. My cousin told me the story of how that worked in his life. He said, how are you doing? And kept on walking. He said, I got about like 10 steps down here. And that person back there said, not good. If we treat it like a casual greeting, it won't do what we're called to do in Galatians. Carry one another's burdens, share in one another's burdens. But that's how we sometimes treat it. A lot of people ask, how are you doing? It takes on a different meaning if we just treat it that way as a greeting. Grievers probably want to talk about how they feel, and would welcome the opportunity to share with someone who will listen and care. Be sure you're willing to devote the time and energy necessary to listen before you ask. how you're doing. It's much better to not ask than not listen. Jackie says, a lot of people ask you how you're feeling and really not wanting any kind of answer at all. Kind of keep on going. And so she wrote this, and I know what she means. She said, I lied a lot when I was going through treatment just because I didn't want to embarrass anyone by saying horrible. It's been the worst time of my life. I'm sick and I puke all day. My radiated gut hurts so bad I want to die. I don't think they want to hear that. And I think my standard reply was, I'm still here. There's a moment when we had the opportunity to carry out this command by Paul to share in one another's burdens, to carry one another's burdens. Here are some key points when asking how you're doing. Here they are. Just four. Number one, you don't have to be a trained counselor to express concern. It's okay to just ask. Most of us are not trained counselors, are we? So we just ask how you're doing, and then we listen, number one. Number two, it's okay if you have never experienced what the person is going through and you probably really don't know how they feel. Just share that you know it must be hard for them. So we're not trying to experience what they're, because we probably don't. It's okay. We just share that it must be hard for them. Number three, and this lets every one of us off the hook. You don't have to know all the answers. Sometimes we resist asking, how are you doing, because we just don't have the answers. You don't need to know the answers. Number four, don't make commitments or promises that you're not willing to keep. Key points in asking, how are you doing? How are you doing? How can I help carry the burden? How can I help share the burden? Well, quickly, number three, probably should be number one. I'm sorry you're facing this, so how can I pray? How can I pray? I'm so sorry I haven't walked in your shoes, so I can't say I know how you feel, but I'm saddened by your pain. I can pray with you. I can pray for you. I can sit with you or leave you alone, but I'll pray. And can I just encourage us in something? If you commit to praying for someone, pray. And what I will most often do is say this, as God brings you to my mind, I'll pray. As God brings you to my mind, I'll pray and I'll do. They're simple things, three simple things. Listen, ask how you're doing, and then commit to pray. But Dick Osborne wrote this. He says, honesty is definitely the best policy in these situations. Simple is just beautiful. Listen, ask how you're doing, and then pray. It's sharing the burden. It's helping to carry the burden. Five quick habits of the comforter, that position that you and I are called into very often, and I believe many of us this week. Number one, take the first step. Knowing the first step is the hardest, but the rest will fall into place. Right now, I think some of us are thinking about a person that we need to call. And even as we've taught, God's put that person on your mind. You know someone who is on a dark road. The journey's dark. They're looking for a reflector. They're looking for some way to navigate this. And God's just dropped that name into your heart. Someone you work with, a family member. But we've resisted because we don't know what to say. We don't have the answers. Take the first step. Call them up. Be willing to listen. Ask how they're doing. Tell them that you'll pray. The rest will fall into place. Number two, we talked about, learn to be a listener. You don't always have to fill the silence in with words. Sometimes just being there, it's all that's necessary. Sometimes just dropping by, it's just being there. So we listen. Number three, don't make commitments that you're not willing to keep. I'll be there every week to mow your lawn. Then you better be there every week to mow lawns or whatever that commitment is. Number four, avoid common and sometimes hurtful cliches. What are they? I'm going to share them. Now listen, let's just, all of us have been there. All of us have shared these things. So there, nobody should, it's not to make you feel guilty or anything. I've been there, you've been there. So we're going to avoid these common and sometimes hurtful cliches. What are they? Keep your chin up. Stay away from that. Stay away from everything has a purpose. We know it does. They know it does. How about this one? Every cloud has a silver lining. And of course, all things work together for good. We know that. Believers know that. But we stay away from those things. And number five, we remember this. It's about them, not you. They probably don't want to hear all about your like experiences. It's how we carry out this command in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Share one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Pick it up. Help carry it. It's not a glance. It's not a look. It's doing something. So many of you, and I know you, and I know your stories. And I think for me, I would just tell you, sometimes it's not always easy to stand where you look at people and you know so many stories. You have lived what we're talking about. That is, you've lived that part of the journey where it got really, really dark. God's brought you through those things. I just want to share with you before we pray just some last words from Mark Smaha. He emailed me these this week. And he raises this question, what is left from loss? And so many of you have experienced that. He goes on, he says, it's what we do with what's left that matters. Are we increased or decreased with what we have left? See, because we understand that only God can bring the increase. Only God can work in our hearts, in our lives, in our situations. And when he does, what happens is we in turn use that dark spot to help somebody else. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to join with me this morning in maybe committing yourself, maybe brand new, maybe for the first time, to being that person that helps to carry a load. Paul says it's one of the things that marks a faith community. And here's the thing. When it lives here in us, guess what? The people out there who don't know Jesus are attracted to that. More than anything, as I've... I live just a block away. And as I've walked over to my office during the day and as I've sat, I said, God, more than anything, would you use Gateway to be your light and to share with people? And I pray that when people drive by this campus that God's given to us, here's what they'll say or think. There's a community that cares. There's a community where I can go if I have needs, and they meet Jesus. That's my heart. And I'm going to pray for you today. Some of you are looking for the reflector. I'm going to pray that God brings someone into your life today. And it's going to be someone around you, perhaps, or someone else who's in this faith community or a faith community. I'm going to pray for you today. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for me, because I believe that when we talk about this stuff, guess what? God's going to open up opportunities for us to do this very thing. They are opportunities. And when we do it, when we carry out this command to share on the journey, to share the burden, to carry the burden, guess what? Jesus is glorified. Jesus is glorified. And we're all about making his name famous. Father, I just pray, first of all, for those who are here and they're navigating the dark road. This week they got a phone call. Maybe it was last week or last month or last year. But it's dark right now. Jesus, I pray that you will bring someone along to help carry and to share in that load. That's what you've called us to do. I pray that you'll give someone the opportunity to do that and help. God, I pray that would take place. And for many of us, God, right now we're making brand new commitments to what we've heard today. We're going to be listeners. We're going to be those people who take the first step and ask how it's doing, and we're going to commit ourselves to prayer. And God, I believe that this morning you dropped people on our hearts, many of us. There are people that we should take the first step, and we're going to make the phone call when we get home today. Or we're going to take the first opportunity to do what you've commanded us to do, and that's to share in the burden, to carry the burden. Now, I mentioned earlier, if you're here today for the very first time, and or maybe you've been coming for a number of weeks, and you know Jesus, you've never trusted him, and so some of this is new. It's so simple, because all we do is pray, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and into my life. I ask you to forgive me and make me a brand new person. I trust in you. I give my life to you. That's the prayer. And if you just prayed that prayer, then you've experienced this amazing exchange that we've talked about today. We give him our life and he gives us his. God, we thank you for that. Now I pray that you go with us today. And I pray, Lord, in the next days, weeks, and months ahead, we'll hear the stories of what you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, before you go, next week, we're just a few minutes past time. Thank you for that. Next week, we're going to talk about grieving and hope. 1 Thessalonians says that we grieve, but not like those with no hope. But we're going to talk about grieving and how we take grief in this hand and hope in this hand and bring them together. So that's next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.